was a caring person, a very loving, family-oriented man. He loved to be around family. So it didn't matter if it was my family, his family, whoever family. He just liked to be around family. He was very talkative and just a loving, kind person.
He made friends everywhere he went. He didn't know any strangers. He made everybody feel like they were special. And, you know, people wanted to be in his space. He just brought, like, an aura of sunshine. He brought light to my life. That's the best way I can put it.
He had a Ford Explorer, I believe. It was white. Yeah. And I literally got my license within that truck, like, parallel parking and everything. But we used to just go to like an open lot on the weekends, and he would just show me how to drive, and he helped me get my permit, my license, and he was just literally like the father figure in my life that was just like, here are the keys, you know, go, just with no expectations of nothing, of just go and have fun. He, you know, had several cars, so it was no problem for me to just say, hey, can I go here, or can I take your truck to go to work? And he'd be like, yeah, go.
For Don, him having to be vulnerable wasn't about him. It was about me. The burden of taking care of him while on the trips to the emergency room and everything, and it was just like me and him fighting the world and keep trying to keep it from Terry. We got the ambulance in the house and my child asleep, and would be quiet, Terry sleep. I got the neighbor coming over. They knew. But eventually, it was like, I'm at my bandwidth. I have no more to give. Mm-hmm. I am exhausted. You have got to involve some other people in this. I need help. Mm-hmm. And that's when he was able, like, he saw my pain, and that's when he was able to involve other people. Not a lot of people, but he was able to relieve my burden and give, you know, have a team around me so that, you know, I still had to go to work. Even when he stopped working, I still had to work and provide and do all of those things, make sure he was good. At that time, he was younger. He wasn't as self-sufficient as he is now. And so I think he saw me crashing and burning, and he realized that he had to add to the village. And that's even when I was like, you gotta tell Tina so that eventually we can tell Mahogany. He was never ready to tell Mahogany. We got to the point where it was like, enough is enough. You're withering away and you're lying to her about why you can't spend time with her, and that's not acceptable. And then I had, when I called you, I said, you just need to come. Just come.
Yeah, because he didn't tell me until junior year, which was really last year. Maybe before Thanksgiving, I want to say, he called me and told me. And, you know, even I would still see him, and to me, he looked fine. And then February, I had winter break, and I wanted to see him. And so, you know, I kept asking, can we get dinner? And he said yes, but he kept like changing the days or like the times. I didn't really know why. Then Mom and Donna had texted me saying I should just come, and saying that he couldn't drive. And I was just really confused because, you know, to me, last time I seen him was December, and he still looked like regular, like my regular dad. But when I went there in February, he didn't look the same. And I was confused, and it did hurt me.
And when she told me that he passed, and I was like, I knew it was gonna happen anyways. I could just see in his eyes. I could see his emotion. You know, his eyes were starting to get yellow and stuff. And it was also a pain to just watch him lay in the hospital. Wasn't able to talk. He barely able to talk. And I told my mom, I was like, I don't want to go to the hospital no more. It's just a pain in my chest to just see it. You know, the truth will eventually come out, so there's no worry about telling your kid or your wife or whoever that, hey, I'm sick and I don't think I can do it no more.
It is hard for men, for whatever reason, to not want to go to the doctor and not get regular checkups. But for someone who does have a dad who also is dealing with some other things, I try my best to always be like, you know, do a check-in or how are you with this? How are you with that? And I think if parents could be a little bit more transparent with their kids when going through things like this, it could help. We could help them. Like, us knowing could help them help themselves. But we don't know what we don't know. So I think just transparency, when parents do find out, you know, they have something serious going on and maybe the lifespan for them is going to be cut short. Your child or kids could definitely be a big advocate for their parents when something is going on, because we could motivate them or push them, or some parents may feel like they want to give up and want to stop certain things, or maybe not want to work out or not want to eat right, but us knowing could motivate them to do better, and maybe they could have a longer lifespan than what they think they could have. You know, the legacy that I could take, you know, is just Don is a family-oriented person. He's a loving person that walk up to strangers and talk to strangers. You know, he don't care. He always knows somebody. He knew the neighbors before we even moved in. And so, so you know, he was just that free-spirited person, you know, and he always wanted to see people get along and, you know, be together.
For me, it's a little different. It's more, why me? Why mine? He was the best. He ate right. He lived right. He took care of everybody. He loved everybody. And I guess my message would be, even if you live life right, cancer is such a horrible disease. It's taken a lot from me. It's taken more than just my husband. But go to the doctor. Get yourself checked. Because even a person who always went to the doctor, it snuck up on them. And it's just an evil disease, and people should not sleep on it. They should take it seriously.